What then are we to do? Once again, we look at the figure of the Buddha. Not only as he stands between the Shakyans and the Koliyans, but as he stands beside and above the wheel of life. In some Tibetan Buddhist scroll paintings, the Buddha is depicted in the top right-hand corner, well outside the wheel, with one arm raised and pointing in an upward direction. He is pointing out the way to nirvana, the state where there is no death because there is no birth. What we have to do is to realize not only the significance of the Rohini incident and the meaning of the Buddha's exchange with the Shakyans and Koliyans, but also the significance of that solitary, wordless gesture. We have to solve both the problem of world peace and nuclear war and the problem of death. The very enormity of the problem of world peace and nuclear war indeed serves to make us, if we have any imagination at all, more aware than ever of the problem of death. And unless we can solve the problem of death, even the solving of the problem of world peace and nuclear war would, despite the unexampled magnitude of such an achievement, be only the most magnificent of our failures. We must therefore not only abolish nuclear weapons, achieve peace in the full sense of the term, and learn to live in accordance with the principle of non-violence, as well as deepen our realization of the indivisibility of humanity and restore communication by the reinstatement of the notion of the objectivity of truth, but we must also eradicate craving, transcend both birth and death, and attain nirvana, the unconditioned. The situation in which we find ourselves today is dangerous in the extreme, perhaps more dangerous for humanity than at any other period in history, and time is running out. Whether we shall be able to achieve world peace and avert nuclear war, we do not know. We can but do our best in a situation which, to a great extent, is not of our own personal making. But whether we succeed in achieving world peace and averting nuclear war or not, we shall still have to die, still have to face the problem of death. If we solve the problem of death, it will not, in the most fundamental sense, matter whether we have solved the problem of world peace and nuclear war or not. Though, paradoxically, if we do succeed in solving the problem of death, then we shall, in all probability, succeed in solving the problem of world peace and nuclear war, too. In any case, if we solve the problem of death, the problem of birth, the problem of craving, then we shall be able to live in the world as the Buddha and his disciples lived. We shall be able to join them in chanting those celebrated verses of the Dhammapada, the first three of which the Buddha, according to tradition, recited to the Shakyans and Koliyans by way of admonition. Immediately he had prevented them from destroying each other. Happy indeed we live, friendly amid the hateful. Among men who hate, we dwell free from hate. Happy indeed we live, healthy among the sick. Among men who are sick with craving, we dwell free from sickness. Happy indeed we live, content amid the greedy. Among men who are greedy, we dwell free from greed. Happy indeed we live, we for whom there is no attachment. seated on the rapture shall we be, like the gods of brilliant light. Victory begets hatred, for the defeated experiences suffering. The tranquil one experiences happiness, giving up both victory and defeat. If we can chant these verses from the very depths of our heart, then we shall be living in accordance with the teachings of Buddhism and working together for what we all most ardently desire, the achievement of world peace and the avoidance of nuclear war.